whole chapter in the Bible yet. And so we're going to give you a quick synopsis of what's happening in John chapter number 4. When you have it, we ask that you would stand to honor the reading of God's words. If you have a hard copy of the Bible, if you have a flip page, or you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android Galaxy, or maybe even the new Apple Watch. I don't know if you can get the Bible app on there yet, but we invite you to John chapter number 4. There is a word from God. You have it, say amen. You're still looking, say hold up. All right, John chapter number 4. I'm reading from the New International Version. It should also be on your screen. I'm beginning again with verse 39, but I'm going to preach all of chapter 4. Here's what it says. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him being Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritan came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. Because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is blessed. Before you take your seat, put a smile on your face. But I mean like a real smile on your face, like I'm really happy to see you type smile on your face. Like I just saved 15% by switching to Geico type smile. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. This morning's sermon is Run, Tell That. Look at another neighbor, smile on your face, like you just found $20 you didn't expect me in your pocket type smile, and your gas tank is on E. God has blessed you, put that kind of smile on your face and say, neighbor, this morning's sermon is Run, Tell That. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Run, Tell That. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray to the Lord that I decrease, that you increase mightily. That these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Run, tell that. You know, you can't tell everybody everything. You can't tell everybody everything. You know how it is. When you call somebody and you say this phrase, now listen, don't you tell nobody this. And whatever you tell them, you know they're going to get on the phone and tell everybody. And 5 minutes later, people calling you, asking questions. Girl, I heard that. Man, I heard that. And when you ask them what they say, I ain't tell nobody. You can't tell everybody everything. Some people just can't hold their breath, much less hold a secret. You can't tell them everything. If you've had a younger brother, a sister, younger sibling, you know what it's like for them to tell all of your business. Who you was on the phone with, what you was watching, and where you went at, and what you ate, and who knocked on the door. They ran and they told everything. Now, if you are the younger sibling, you don't remember it like that. You was, you know. There are some things, that you really just don't want people telling. You know, there's been some times in life and you've been with a group of people and you did that one thing that you really wish you could get back and you hope they forget it so they can tell nobody else this is a point in your life and you did some really dumb stuff. Please don't run and tell that. There are some things that we really don't want people telling. Then there are some things that we want people to tell. There's a whole bunch of finer womanhood Zetas here. And so for the Zetas and for the other sisters, you will understand this. If you're about to go out, you know, this is finna be your day. You put on a dress that you remember being able to fit when you was 26 years old. And your sorority is there. Your homegirl is there. And you look at your homegirl and you say, how does this look on me? Now, it depends on how good of a friend you really have. If your friend look at you and say, oh, no, that's fine. That's probably not your friend. A real friend, I need you to tell me, don't you wear that inside or outside? I need you to be honest with me. Brother, you know what it's like when you try to do your best and you say, hey, man, you know, I met this girl. And now if your friend knows she crazy, you ought to give me a witness and say, hey, man, listen, run from that one. Please help me understand a little bit. Sometimes we want people to run and tell us something that's going to help us. There are times where we don't want people to tell, but then there are times when we do. When we're going down a wrong road, please, please say something. Please tell me. There are signs now all over the metro, particularly in the area that we live, it simply says this: if you see something, say something. What kind of friend are you? Are you the one who watches a friend doing the wrong thing, going down the wrong road, making bad decisions and bad mistakes, but you're not willing to say anything to them, but willing to say everything about them? Or are you the kind of friend that's willing to be honest and say, listen, there is a better way? In our text this morning, John tells us a story about a woman who helped to change an entire community because she was willing to run and tell what happened to her. To help us understand this woman's story, John starts off by telling us that Jesus was thirsty. He was thirsty, but his thirst wasn't just for H2O, but he had a thirst to change someone's life. If you're taking notes, brothers and sisters, first thing we see in the text is this. He went looking. He went looking. The text says that Jesus went through Samaria and he came to a town called Sychar. Now, that's a heavy statement for those who read a little bit or have one little commentary at your house or you've used Google before. That's a heavy statement because he went through Samaria. It's drastic for a reason. You see, Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. Now, I'm not talking about the not kind of like because we don't want to sit on the same pew or, you know, we go to the same church, but you sit on this side. I said, not that kind of dislike. I'm not saying, you know, we're in the same organization and we can work together, but we're not going to hang out together. Not that kind of dislike. I mean a real deep-rooted dislike. I don't like you. My mama didn't like your mama. My daddy didn't like your daddy. My great-grandmother couldn't stand your great-grandma. I mean, it's a real, real serious dislike. It's a hate that goes back for many years. Jews and the Samaritans just didn't like each other. Here is why. There were two groups of Samaritans. Well, one of the groups in Samaria would have been the native Israelites who were not deported. They had been there. They were not deported. This goes back to an Old Testament time of the prophets. You know, people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the Babylonians came in, they deported some of the Israelites. Now, there were some who said, listen, we've been here through the good times and the bad times. Y'all ain't like us. We're a little different. You didn't go through what we went through. And so that's one group. Then there's a second group that had been deported, but then they came back. Two groups in Samaria. Not only that, the Samaritans refused to worship in Jerusalem. There's a reason. When the Jews came back, the ones that had been deported, they wanted to rebuild the city, and the Samaritans that had been there put up an obstacle against them. We've been here. Y'all not going to come change our city. It's like gentrification in reverse, and so we're not going to let you do anything there. When the Jews came back, the Samaritans became an obstacle. The Samaritans also helped Syria in their fight against the Jews. So the Jews did not like the Samaritans, and the Samaritans did not like the Jews. I don't like you. My mama didn't like your mama. My daddy didn't like your daddy. My great-great-great-great-great-grandfather didn't like your great-great-great-grandfather. Now the rest of y'all that's coming, we don't like y'all. So as payback in 128 BC, the Jewish high priest burned the Samaritan temple. So brothers and sisters, these two groups really don't like each other. This is a real drama-filled situation. It's like reality TV, Real Housewives, you pick the city. It's like Love and Hip Hop. And so it's real tense kind of thing. And the text says, although the Jews don't like Samaritans, Jesus went through Samaria. Now, Jesus left Judea and was heading back to Galilee. And Samaria was in the middle of the two. So although it was the main route from Judea to Galilee, Jesus could have done what most Jews would do. They would walk around Samaria because they hated them just that much. You know how folk are when you see somebody that you don't like, or somebody sees you and they don't like you. They see you, they're walking in your direction, but all of a sudden they forgot something. They got to go around this way. Oh, let me go over here and talk to so-and-so that they never met before. And so that's what the Jews would do. They would go around Samaria because they were so disgusted by them. Nevertheless, most Jews, they would go along the Jordan Valley through the Bashan Gap into Galilee. But Jesus chose to go through Samaria. Jesus went where other people avoided. He went through Samaria. I'm glad that Jesus chose to go where others would not go. Jesus went where others didn't want to go. Jesus did not avoid the uncomfortable things. Jesus went where others didn't want to go. Jesus walked among the peasants and those that society had discarded. Is there anybody here that's glad that Jesus was willing to go where others didn't want to go? Anybody glad that he was there for you when others would not help you? Anybody glad that he showed up for you when others turned their back on you? He didn't leave you when life got difficult, but rather he jumped into the middle of your mess and was willing to help you out of it. I'm so glad that Jesus chose to go where others did not want to go. He's willing to put up with what others didn't want to put up with. I'm glad that he went through Samaria. And he stopped at a well in Sychar. A Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well, and Jesus asked her to give him a drink. Now he's chilling at the well. He don't have anything to pull in the water. And so he says to Sister's girl, excuse me, can you? He said it nice. In my mind, you know, he said it real nice, real polite, you know. He was trying, he needs some water. And so he says to the sister, she got, you know, something to draw a little water. And he says, excuse me, I know women are empowered, you know, and this ain't my hometown, but would you be kind enough to give me a drink of water? Now, this sister's having one of those days where it's really just don't mess with me kind of day. I'm mad about stuff from 2 months ago kind of mad. This is not, I came out here to get my own water. I don't even know you. Why are you talking to me? I don't really want to talk to anybody. I don't want to give you my number. I'm not trying to be hooked up. Can you just leave me alone? Jesus kindly says, can I have a drink of water? And this sister, in essence, says, you want me to do what? I mean, with all the sass you can imagine. Like Jesus has stole her puppy and scratched her car kind of. He'd have ran up her credit kind of thing. And she says, you want me to do what? Hold on. I don't even know you. Why are you here in my town? You know we don't like y'all. I mean, she just goes smooth off. Oh, Jesus just wanted a glass of water. Listen, I didn't want to go into all the drama of your life. I just wanted a little bit. I don't know who hurt you, but I just want something to drink. And Jesus' response hints at his reason for going through Samaria. Jesus' response hints at his reason for stopping at the well. Jesus, his response, hints at his reason for even asking her for a drink of water. Jesus says, if you know the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. In essence, Jesus wants her to know that he knows where she is in life, what she's going through in life, what she's lacking, and he came through Samaria and stopped at a well because he was looking for her. I'm glad that Jesus is willing to go where others did not want to go. The text says that he went through Samaria, but he did it for a reason. It suggests to us, brothers and sisters, that Jesus does not mind looking for us. It suggests that he's willing to go into enemy territory to find us. It suggests that he's willing to go through the difficult task in order to find us. It tells us it doesn't matter how far we are from God, Jesus can reach us. It tells us it doesn't matter how low we are in life, Jesus can reach us. He went through Samaria. I don't know about the Samaria of your life, but I'm so glad that he found me in the Samaria of my life. He came looking for me when I didn't even know I was lost. He came looking for me when I didn't even know I was hurt. He found me in the mess of my life. I wish I had somebody really helping me here. Did he find you when you were hurting? Did he find you when you were lost? When he found you far in the world, did he find you when you didn't even know you needed him? The text says he went through Samaria. He'll find you wherever you are. He'll find you at a bar at what would be for you an unhappy hour. He'll find you there. He'll find you in a club on a Tuesday. He'll find you there. He'll find you in your car trying to mind your own business, and tears begin to run down your face because he found you right where he needed to find you. Has he found you? I'm so glad that Jesus does not mind looking where others don't want to look. I'm so glad that he doesn't mind going where others don't want to go. And so Jesus found this Samaritan woman at the well. And once he found her, this sister, she put up her act. He was really trying to change her life, but she put up her defenses, that don't mess with me type thing. Like, look, I'm giving you the look that says, listen, talk to somebody else, but not to me. Why didn't you ask somebody else for some water? She did her whole acting thing, but Jesus was there for her. Yeah. Happened was that Jesus saw past her act. That's our second point if you're taking notes. He saw past her act. He saw past her act. You know, a lot of us go through life acting. Acting as if we've got it all together. Acting as if everything is fine in our lives. Acting as if we're in the best relationship ever. Acting as if we've got the best job ever. Acting as if we got the best place to live ever. Acting as if everything in our lives is ours. Some of us, you know, we could really do well winning an Oscar. At least you know somebody who is very good. Every time you call them, their act is going on. You're just like, I don't know why I called them anyway. They're not going to do nothing but lie to me and tell me all kinds of stuff I don't want to hear. Many of us do a great job acting. We play all kinds of roles. These are the roles that we make up ourselves, and we put passion and effort into making them up. You know, we got the I'm smarter than everybody else type role. We got the I got more titles than everybody else type role. We got the I got a better car than everybody else type role. We got all kind of roles that we play, and we convince ourselves. And you know, some people do so well at acting that it becomes who they are. For example, in America, because I watch House of Cards, I would say we pretty much have two presidents. We got Obama and Frank Underwood. If you watch House of Cards, I don't even know his real name. I know him as Frank Underwood because he's done so good of a job in playing the president in House of Cards. Many of us do such a great job in acting that people have never really met who we are because we are always acting. We have all kind of roles, and we've gotten good at them to the point that people don't even know we're acting anymore. They think we really do have our lives all together. They think we really are bawling. At home, you're really bawling in tears because you keep seeing all the bills come in. You gotta keep up appearance. My grandma would say, keeping up with the Joneses. I've never really met these Joneses, but whoever we're trying to keep up with them. In the text, the woman had her act going. See, the text says that it was at noon, and the woman came to the well. Now, let me do a little teaching. This is a hot area, as you can imagine. This is where Jesus, they walked with sandals for a reason, because it was hot all the time. It was a hot, arid area. And the woman is at the well at noon. Now, first of all, it's hot already there. And you going to news. Here's an example. I can remember when I was in the military, I was deployed to a place called Djibouti, Africa. It's literally right on the equator. If Satan has a home on earth, it's got to be right there. I can remember it. I remember we landed at like 3 in the morning. I got off the plane. Now, this is my first time in Africa. I knew I was in Africa, but it was hot at 3 in the morning. I said, Lord Jesus, it's really hot here. And it was right on the equator. And I remember one morning I walked out of the tent, and y'all, it was so hot, clouds were not even in the sky. I'm so serious. It was 3 months. I literally saw no clouds. I remember one morning I walked out. It was like 9 in the morning, and I looked up, and birds who were on branches, like, I ain't going nowhere. It's hot to even fly. This woman goes to the well at noon. High area. She's there at noon, where normally the women would draw water early in the morning or late in the evening so they could avoid the heat. But this woman went to the well at noon. Interesting. This woman in the text was acting, but Jesus caught the woman off guard, and he saw past her act. Check out what Jesus does. He stops the woman. He stops talking about water, and he says to her, go get your husband. Sister girl said, hold on, bro, listen. First of all, I didn't want to talk to you. Now, you're just being downright rude. The woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus, and this says, you got that right. You've had 5, and the one you with right now ain't even yours. Jesus gets all into her business. Jesus went straight past her act. No Oscar for you today. And I see you where you are. And the point is this. It's not even about her relationships. Jesus is saying, I see the void in your life, that you're trying to fill that void with other people. But I came through Samaria just to talk to you. I can see you. I can see your lack. I can see your hurt. I can see beyond the act that you're trying to put on, that you confuse everybody else thinking that you've got it all together. She says, hold on, bruh, dude who ain't got no business in our town. Anyway, what I don't want you to do is be bringing up my own drama. First of all, I didn't really want to talk to you. And so what she does is this. She tries to change her role and begin to talk a little political. Let's talk religion. Let's talk anything else but me. Can we talk about something else? Let's have religious talk. Let's talk about something other. The woman starts talking about the religious difference between Jews and Samaritans. She says, our ancestors worship on this mountain, but y'all say that we're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Jesus sees, okay, I see what you're trying to do. You want to just switch up on a brother and talk about, now you want to be deep. And I just asked for a drink of water. Now you want to talk religion. You're trying to hide who you are by having a different conversation. You see, the woman came to the well for water. Her body physically needed water. But that's not the only thirst she had. She had a void in her life. And Jesus saw exactly what she needed. Jesus said to her, a time is coming when you won't have to worship on a mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and is now here when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The woman says, I'm going to be real religious. She says the Messiah called Christ is coming. He'll explain all of this. I don't have that much. I just wanted to talk about something else. I don't have any of the answers. So when Jesus comes, he'll have all the answers. Thank you so much. Maybe somebody else will get you some water. That's the end of this conversation. Jesus changes this woman's life with his next statement. Jesus says, I am he. I love how Jesus works. He found her when she least expected it. And when he found her, he saw past her act. Jesus saw what she needed. Jesus saw her for who she was. Jesus, in essence, says, I see you. I see your hurt. I see your pain. You don't have to hide from me. I've stopped by to change your life. I've stopped by to give you what you couldn't find in other people. I stopped by to help you. I stopped by to fix you. What you can't find in Jerusalem, I am it. What you can't find in the well, I am it. Has he done that for you?
Yes, sir.
Has he found you and seen past your act? Has he told you don't have to hide from me? Has he seen you for who you are? Beyond the titles, beyond the money, beyond the clothes. Has he seen past your nice suits and ties, past your expensive jewelry, past your Louboutins? Has he seen you in your failures? Has he seen you in the moments where you feel like you're struggling and others have abandoned you?
Yes, sir.
Have he seen you when you're struggling with depression and hurt? Has he seen you when you felt unloved and unwanted? Has he found you at the lowest point of your life? I'm so glad that Jesus will come looking for us and he'll find us where we are. I'm so glad that he'll come in and he'll say, you don't have to hide from me. I see you as you are. I see what you're lacking. I came to fill you with my spirit. Has he found you? Has he filled you with his spirit? I don't know about you, but I found one day in my life I was sinking. Y'all, I was sinking deep in sin. Old folks say, far from the peace of the shore. Very deeply stained within, I was sinking, y'all, to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water he was willing to lift me. And now I can say, safe am I. The master of the sea, he heard me. He was willing to lift me up. Love is what lifted me. Love is what changed me. Love is what fixed me. Love is what put me back together again. Jesus came looking for me when I didn't even know I was lost. And when I tried to put up an act, he saw past all of that to see exactly what I was lacking in life. And he wanted to fill me with his spirit.
Yes.
John does all of this. John takes 38 verses to talk about a conversation at a well. 38 verses, and that's not even the point he was trying to make. The point he was trying to make was for an unnamed woman in the text. Whenever you see a woman show up in the Bible, she's there purposefully. She has reason for being there. This woman, who was not even a Jew, shows up in the Bible. He spends 38 verses to describe a conversation she had at a well. That's not what made her important. What made her important was exactly what she did after Jesus saw past her act. After her life had been changed. Bible says that the woman went and she told her story. That's our third point. I'm almost out of your way. She went and she told her story. I love it. The Bible says that the woman went back into the community. You know what? She had left there at noon so folk wouldn't be bothering her. Because the reality is some of her enemies lived in that community. Because she'd had some issues with them before, so they didn't really like her. So she's on the hideout. But she goes back to that community. I know you don't like me. That's fine. I know you talk about me. That's fine. I know you can't stand me. That's fine. But I care enough about salvation that I came back to this community to tell y'all, come see a man. That has told me everything I have ever done. Come see a man that changed my life out at the well. Come see a man that asked me for a drink of water, but gave me something to quench my heart's thirst. The woman said, come and see a man. She didn't preach. She didn't know theology. She wasn't quoting scripture. She didn't know Greek or Hebrew. The woman's story was simply this. He told me all about my own life. Y'all, he saw me for who I was. And I want you to have that experience in your life. The woman said, my story is this. He changed me. Well, she didn't preach. Didn't even have a Bible with her. All she had was what he's done for me. The Bible said, the community came out. And they met Jesus. And when they met Jesus, they said to the woman, woman, we came because you told us your story. But now we have our own story.
brothers and sisters, lives can be changed when we are willing to run and tell our story. People's marriages can be fixed when we are willing to run and tell our story. Some young man can come off the street when we're willing to run and tell our story. Somebody that doesn't have a father in their lives can see their future being better when we run and tell our story. But some mother who's raising a child by herself can feel like I can make it when we run and tell our story. So many people can change when we run and tell our story. I've got to leave you now, but I got a message to tell you. I got some emails. Yesterday I was trying to clear out my email. For those who held my phone before, they'll know that at one point I had 8,878 unopened emails. Don't judge me. So I wanted to get better. And so I went through. And, you know, I'm unsubscribing. I don't even know how I got on some of these lists and stuff. So I'm unsubscribing from a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm searching, trying to figure out, okay, who is this person? If I didn't know your name, I just searched for you and deleted everything. And so if somebody has emailed me, you want to send it to me again. I may be able to read it this time. But I was going through, I was clearing out my messages. And I saw an email. The subject was church tomorrow. Okay. And the sender was God. Opened it up. First paragraph says, Ball, when you go to Uplift tomorrow, you're going to have several people there. I want you to tell them these people's stories. He said, we went through heaven and we had several people tell us what they would say to Uplift members about telling their story. What they would say to Uplift visitors about telling what has happened in their life. Only if they had more time.